Yes, I am. Turn to two places in your Bibles tonight. If you would, with one hand, turn to Revelation chapter 2. And 1 John chapter 5. Revelation chapter 2 and 1 John chapter 5. We'll just real quick, I want to show you a couple verses that I think will give us a good introduction in the message tonight in Revelations, and then we'll just go on from there. But if you want to read a couple things out of... Read these two verses in 1 John chapter 5, and then we'll turn to Revelation chapter 2 real quick. I do appreciate my father-in-law, Sarah's father, being here tonight, making the drive over from Zanesville. Appreciate him being here. Intimidating, but that's all right, I think. I'll bear through. 1 John chapter 5. Do you know that we can have victory today? Oftentimes, even as Paul said that there was a sin that so easily beset him, or that there could be sins that so easily beset us, but you don't have to give in to that temptation. You don't have to lose that battle. You're a victor in Christ. We know from the book of James, the Bible tells us that in our own hearts, in this flesh, there's a lust that leads us to sin. There's a desire. And a lot of times we automatically associate the word lust with a sensual sin, but that's not the case. It's the lust of your flesh that goes after money, or would go after pride, or would go after a position or a title over somebody, or anger, or something like that. That's your flesh crying out, trying to lead you to something. But James tells us that lust, when it's conceived, turns into sin. It bears sin. And sin, when it is done, is bringing forth death. Well, that crying out of your flesh to do something, to sin, doesn't have to be answered. You can have victory. At that moment, I think there's some things the devil's going to throw your way. I think he's going to say things like, phrases you've heard, well, everybody's doing it. Or nobody's perfect. You can blame it on the flesh. Or later on you can ask forgiveness. Or everybody, you know, nobody's perfect. Everybody's going to sin sometime. Or, well, it's just good to blow off some steam on somebody. Or it's just, you know, you got everybody sins. You're not perfect. Well, that's not what the Bible says. That's not what the Bible says at all. In fact, God would not give you a command to go forth and be perfect. Would not give anyone that command to go out and be perfect if they couldn't do it. You can live without sin. You can have victory over the temptations of the flesh. Tonight I just want to give you a message. Victory today, victory through faith. How do you achieve that victory? What's the difference between a weak Christian and a strong Christian, or a losing Christian and a winning Christian? I believe it's faith. But before I get into that, I want to show you a couple things here. Just looking at these verses. You are an overcomer. 1 John chapter 5, look in verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God, God's Word says, 1 John chapter 5, in verse number 4, for whatsoever, that's us, is born of God, overcometh the world, that's us. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. So we've established that the overcomer is anyone that's saved, correct? If you're saved, then you have overcome. You are an overcomer. Turn real quick with me to Revelation. We'll just flip through a couple verses here. Revelation chapter 2, we'll read a few of these verses and go back to 1 John. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 7. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh, and that's us, will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Verse 11. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Amen. Verse 17. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. to him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him, get this, a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. Verse 26. And he that overcometh, and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. Chapter 3, verse 5. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Verse 12. Him that overcometh, will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name. Verse 21. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Some of those things ought to be a motivating factor for us, knowing what God has done for us, knowing what God has in store for us, knowing that we are an overcomer. Before all things, before a temptation, you're an overcomer. You're a victor. And 1 John chapter 5 told us, it says, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Let's pray. God, we thank you for this morning's services, God, the messages were taught, God, the songs were sung, the prayers, God, the fellowship. Lord, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for the voting that was done this afternoon. God, we thank you for the need for more parking space in this church. We thank you for the energy and the enthusiasm that's being heard of this place. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would be here tonight. God, we thank you for the songs that were sung, the music played by the pianist. God, the special that was sung. God, we thank you for the prayers that were lifted up, that Jesus Christ's name was exalted in this place. God, our cup overfloweth. But God, again, in this next period of time, we know that you've set aside your preaching. God, you've sanctified it. You've given it power. God, that it can move in our hearts and in our life. We ask that you do that tonight. We know that you will. Lord, we thank you for what you're going to do in this next period of time. In Jesus' precious and motivating name, amen. 1 John chapter 5 told us that we are victors, that we have victory, that we are overcomers. And Revelations 2 and 3 had nothing to do with that, but I just wanted to show you some of those words and what is done to somebody that overcometh, which is us. Victory today, victory through faith. Luke chapter 22, verse 31 and 32 says, the Lord talking to Simon Peter, he said, Simon, Simon, behold, you know this verse, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. The devil is after you. The devil was after Simon Peter. But Jesus said, but I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. So what was it that was going to give Peter victory? It was his faith. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Not talking about his salvation, but when he's gone through this thing, that he would strengthen his brethren. Something we'll look at a little later on, something that we should do. It's our faith that'll give us victory when the devil's after us, when sin is after us. It's our faith. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 33 starts out by saying, listing some of these different people that have gone through difficulties but have been victorious through it, and it said, who through faith, out of weakness, were made strong. In your moment of weakness, what will make you strong? Your faith. It's your faith. It's not, I hope so. It's not it's the Indiana Jones faith of walking out on the you don't know what. But you do know what. Faith is a substance of things hoped for. Not I hope so, but I know. The Bible describes hope as an anchor for your soul. And that no matter what might come along, or no matter what even out of your own flesh might try to pull you in a direction towards sin, you have that faith and that solid anchor for your soul that no matter what might try to move you, it's your faith that'll give you strength. And it's your faith that'll give you victory. It's a substance, things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. Is your faith weak tonight, or is your faith strong? We are victors over sin, and it's based on our faith. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. My question to you tonight is, do you have that victory? Can you answer these questions? Do you have joy over sadness? A victor has joy over sadness. If not, look at your faith. Now, I'm not trying to beat you over the head with something. I'm saying, look at your faith. That's what these verses tell us. It's look at your faith. Do you have peace over turmoil? In your heart, in your life, in your mind, do you have peace over turmoil? Maybe you say, yeah, you know what? I do have peace over turmoil. What about in your home? Okay, yeah, I have peace over turmoil there. Okay, what about in the workplace? Ooh, not so much. Well, then look at your faith. Look at your faith. You have peace over turmoil. The Bible tells us, therefore, being justified by faith, that's us, overcomers, we have peace with God. Do you have peace? Look at your faith. Do you have direction over being in the unknown or being unsure? Do you have confidence over fear? Are you a victor? Do you have fulfillment in your life over emptiness? Look at your faith. Do you have victory in Jesus, as the song says? Or do you have loss? And are you losing in self and in sin? You're going to choose one thing or another based on your faith. Are you choosing right? Are you victorious? Do you know that we're required to be faithful? We're required to be full of faith. The Bible says, moreover, it is required in a steward that a man be found faithful. And we've been made stewards of what God has given us. We're to overwatch it, to use it properly, not to lose it. Probably a bad illustration based on the things going on in that church, but how bad would it be if that money put into that project, and the next day you show up and they never brought the dirt? And you call the number, and there's no line there because the number's been disconnected because the people took the money and ran. Now, they're not going to do that. All right? They're not going to do that. But how bad would that be? All right? That's why the pastor knows exactly who the people are, and they can't run off with all those trucks and tractors and everything they got over there anyways. All right? He wants to make sure that the money that this church has invested is going to be used wisely. Why? Because you are stewards of that money. And it's going to be used wisely. Well, you're stewards of what God has given you. What has He given you? He's given you a family. He's given you a church. He's given you a church house. He's given you a body. He's given you the Holy Spirit as an earnest of your reward, which is in heaven. And you look at those things, and if you use them as just, let's say, as the prodigal son who apparently was a Christian, correct? He was a child of his father, and the father is who? God. And this child goes out and takes everything God gives him and isn't a good steward of it, just wastes it in riotous living, and then finally comes back to his father at the end. Are you going to be that child that just is constantly losing? Or are you going to be that child that is victorious? Because that victory has already been handed to you by God, by Jesus Christ. Moreover, it's required in a steward that a man be found faithful. That's pretty much a black and white requirement for his children, for soldiers in the battle of Christ, to be full of faith. As a soldier for Christ, you know that you've pretty much already put your name in the battle. You get tired of hearing people that come back from overseas or things like that, people that are in the military. I'm not talking about people that aren't in the military. I think somebody that isn't in the military has every right to say positive, negative, whatever they want about the military or about what battles are being fought where and what else. But I think somebody that's in the military has absolutely no right to say anything negative about where they're being sent or why. That's just part of the oath that they've given. Wherever they get sent, they get sent. Whatever they do, they do. But they have signed over their abilities and their body and their life to serve that cause, whatever it might be. You hear a lot of these people just come back and say, you know, well, I don't think we should be there, stuff like that. Well, it doesn't matter. Well, as a Christian, I put my faith not in myself, not in my church, not in my abilities or anything else. I put my faith in Jesus Christ. And I am now made a soldier in the battle, and there are casualties to the left and to the right. It doesn't matter whether I feel like doing it anymore. It doesn't matter if I quite understand what the point of it all is. I've given my oath. I've raised my hand. I've put my faith not in myself but in Him. And when He says go, I go. And when He says do, I do. Even when I don't understand. Now, can I tell you, God does not require blind, if you will, stupid, I know that's not a good word to use, faith. All right? He does instruct, He does give, and He certainly says, look back at what I've done for you so that you'll know I'm still here with you now. Alright? Paul writing to Timothy, you'll know this verse as well, in 1 Timothy 6:12 says, fight the good fight of faith. Don't lose, fight. Fight the good fight of faith, because the fight of faith is the winning fight. Let us be faithful and have victory. Do you know that faith conquers sin, and we're supposed to avoid sin so we should have faith? Just throwing a lot of different angles at you to draw your attention to your faith. The Bible says, another verse you'll know in 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 8, says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom, a command to us, resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. There's two ways to look at that. They're in the world because they're not here. And they're not here because they lost the battle. Let me read that again. The devil is after you, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. That could be you tomorrow. That could be you right now. Resist steadfast in the faith. Fight the good fight. Faith conquers sin, and we're to avoid sin, so we need to look at our faith. Prayer requires faith. James 5:15 says, the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. If he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. You say, well, I don't believe that stuff. That's talking about a particular period in time or something like that. You've never seen somebody healed by prayer? Maybe that's why your prayer is not a prayer of faith. Does God do it every time? He answers every time. But does He heal them by physical healing every time? No, He does not. Sometimes it's escape by death into a better place. Amen? It's like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said before they got thrown in the fire. They said, our God will deliver us, whether it's out of the fire or by death. He'll still deliver us either way. But our God will deliver us. If you don't believe in the answer of God's healing ability through prayer, your prayer requires faith. And if you're commanded to pray without ceasing, and prayer requires faith, you're required to have faith. The prayer of the sick, the prayer of faith shall save the sick. Victory through faith. Faithfulness. How can we have faith? Faithfulness through fellowship. I just want to give you 3 points tonight. 3 points on faithfulness through fellowship. I gave you a couple different things that point out that we need to look at our faith. We need to examine our faith. How strong our faith is. That it is faith that determines whether we're a weak Christian or a strong Christian. It's faith that determines whether we are able to resist the wiles of the devil or whether we're not. It's faith that will determine that when we are attempted to be sifted as wheat, as to whether we're able to withstand or whether we're converted, as the verse that's used, or not. It's our faith. Well, I'm not just going to leave you there and, well, yeah, I know it's my faith, but what do I do about it? Three ways that you can strengthen your faith. Faithfulness through fellowship. Fellowship of the saints. Turn to Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26. Read a couple of these verses real quick. You know, there's something different about a Christian and a non-Christian. At least one thing. At least one thing. All right. This is a good verse. Whether you like it or not, I think this is a very good discipleship verse. The moment somebody's saved, if you turn them to Acts chapter 26 and verse 18, you say, hey, this is what just happened to you. And that way they don't doubt later on and things like that. But also shows, I think it just shows them a lot of things. Acts chapter 26 and verse 18, it says, God's Word says, to open their eyes, that's what happened to you when you were saved, your eyes were open, and to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Sanctified by faith. You know that it's the sanctification of faith that makes us all similar. You were sanctified by faith. You were sanctified by faith. You were sanctified by faith. Well, if you're all sanctified out of the world by faith into the same place, you've got something in common. How can you strengthen the faith that you had? Fellowship with the saints. Another verse says, 2 Corinthians 4:13 says, we, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, having the same spirit of faith. How can you increase your faith? Fellowshipping with the saints. Being around those of that same spirit of faith. We looked this morning at the two different groups of people, those that are in darkness and those that are in light. Either way, they're going to want to be around people that are like them. And I tell you, if you're around people that are in the world, they're constantly losing. They see no hope in sight. They see no light whatsoever. They have no zeal or energy for the things of God. If those are the people that you surround yourself with, or that you confide in, or that you put your faith and trust in, and those are the people that you build around yourself, you're going to see loss in your own life. Your faith is going to be affected by that. But on the other side, if you surround yourself by people that are strong, by people that are full of faith, and you hear their testimonies on some random Sunday night or on some random Wednesday night of what God did for them, of how God brought them through something, or how God gave them victory, their faith will strengthen your faith. Their steadfastness will give you steadfastness. And you'll be able to resist, and you'll see hope, and you'll see light, and your faith will increase by the fellowship of the saints. Turn with me real quick to Hebrews chapter 13. This verse going along with what you're saying. It's edification through faith. How can you increase your faith? By being around other Christians. By following other Christians. One thing you see when you look at other Christians is you see the bad faith and you see the good faith. You see where their faith was strong and you see where their faith was weak. But either way, you see what God did in their life. You see the substance of a Christian life, and your strength is, and your faith is strengthened by that. Hebrews chapter 13, look at verse 7. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. So why'd you read verse 8? How can you not read verse 8? If you read verse 7, you got to read verse 8. All right, but it says there at the end of verse 7, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Listen to me today, especially Those of you that are in a position of leadership, which is every single one of you, but more importantly, being a bus worker or being a pastor, preacher, being a teacher, being a junior church worker, being in front of those young people or those not so young people, being in front of those people that are looking at you, they're going to follow your faith. And is your faith the type of faith that is going to edify them? That's going to lift them up? Or is it going to depress them? Because they see the victory or they see the loss. We need to have a strong faith. And we're to follow the faith of those, says, considering their end, the end of their conversation, all right, those that have victory. Do you know that we're to strengthen those that are weak in the faith? Romans chapter 14, verse 1 says, him that is weak in faith, receive ye. Who's that talking about? That's talking about as a church, when somebody in the church is struggling in their faith, not to just cast them aside or to walk over them or to run over them or to kick them while they're down or something like that, but actually says, he that is weak in faith, receive ye. Why? Why would God say to receive somebody that's weak in faith? It's not saying receive somebody who's teaching some strange doctrine or receive somebody who's living in sin or something like that and ignore their sin, receive them. That's not what it's saying. It's saying somebody whose faith is weak, receive ye, because it's going to be your faith that changes their faith. It's going to be the strength of your faith combined that strengthens them. Receive them that are weak in faith. What's going to strengthen your faith? Fellowship. If your faith is weak, just like that said, receive them that are weak in faith. Put yourself around those that are strong. Listen to their testimony. Read the book of those that have had victory. Study them. Follow them. That'll strengthen your faith. Fellowship of the saints. To keep with S's, fellowship of the sword. Fellowship of the Word of God. Sword. Fellowship of the sword. Romans chapter 10 says, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah, who's that? That's Isaiah. You got that this morning from Philip. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. How do you strengthen your faith? Read the Word of God. That sounds pretty simple. Read the Word of God. That sounds easy. Read the Word of God. It takes something. It takes a little bit of effort. It takes a little bit of trial and error. It takes a little bit of faith. And not only that, but it increases your faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Can I tell you, do you believe that somebody can go back there and pick up one of those tracts and read one verse of Scripture and get saved? And that faith be given to them. The Bible says each one of us has been given the measure of faith. Now, if you believe that somebody who is unsaved, I'm talking about somebody who is a child of the devil, somebody who is not in the family of God, somebody whose sin is whose soul is black in sin, and their heart is, they're an enemy, literally an enemy of God. Their place is reserved for them in darkness. That can be turned around by one tiny verse. And they can be made a joint heir with Jesus Christ, be adopted into the family of God, be placed with the overcomers. And all those things that are given to an overcomer, and all those things that happen to those that have victory, to those that have overcome, if you believe that one verse of Scripture, and I do, believe that one of those verses of Scripture can make a change like that, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, as a Christian who's failing, as a Christian who's weak in the faith, as a Christian who's struggling, who's not seeing power in their life, who's not seeing victory in their life, I don't think you have to read 3 chapters a day or 30 chapters a day or 100 chapters a day or the Bible in a month or the Bible in a year or the Bible in 2 years. I think you open that up and you read one verse and God can change you. David talked about how many times meditating on the Word of God. You can't meditate on a page of Scripture. But you can take that principle and you can take that thought. You say, what are you saying? Don't try to read 10 chapters a day. No, I'm not saying that. But what I do think is that when I'm not reading God's Word and it's sitting on the shelf, and I think, well, I know I need to be reading it, but I'm not going to, and I think I need to go from not reading it at all to reading 3 chapters today, I'm not going to pick it up and read it. But when I understand the power of one single Word of God, I'm going to open it up and just let it be in front of me. Saying, what are you saying? If today you're not reading God's Word because you think you need to be reading a lot of it for it to take effect in your life, you don't know God's Word. And I don't believe reading a verse of Scripture today after not reading any is a baby step. I believe that's an eternity of difference. If you can take an eternal step, like at salvation, if you can take an eternal step, I think you can do that by opening up God's Word and meditating on God's Word. Now, do I think you're the strongest Christian in the room? Or am I giving you an excuse not to read more than one verse a day? No, I'm not. But can I tell you, you get a whole lot more out of reading and meditating on one verse of Scripture than skimming 10 verses of Scripture. All right. There's power in God's Word. And that power will give you faith and will increase your faith. I'm giving you the soft serve kind. Next Sunday he can preach on you reading 10 pages a day. All right. That's the benefit of me not being here next Sunday. All right. Whose faith follow those that are in front of you. Weak faith or powerful faith. Fellowshipping with the saints gives you powerful faith. Fellowshipping with the sword, the Word of God, increases the strength of your faith. It'll actually give you a faith that has power. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. So the Word or the faith comes by hearing. And the Word is powerful. How do you have powerful faith? By spending time in His Word. Notice I didn't say reading, I said fellowshipping. Fellowshipping. Fellowship with God's Word. That's a back and forth communication, a life that is actually centered by, and His Word actually has a part of your life. It'll add power to your faith. For the Word of God is quick, gives life, and powerful, full of power. And I also ask you, if you're not reading God's Word, and this is where the length of your reading comes in, how can you believe or have faith in what you haven't heard? How can you stand on something that you don't understand? How can you be strengthened by something that you're not a part of? You need to be a part of it. You need to be fellowshipping with it. You need to know the Word of God. You need to read the Word of God. You need to fellowship with it. You know, if you're dehydrated, if you go to the doctor and he tells you you're dehydrated, you know he doesn't throw you in a swimming pool and say, don't come out till it's dry. He doesn't tell you to gulp water. Ever see the people on the side of, I'm thinking of a hockey rink, but I don't know what else they would be on, and they squirt the bottle. You know why they do that? You know why bottles of water for an athlete aren't, you don't just take the cap off, and because you're supposed to take small amounts of water. That's actually what hydrates you. Well, this is the water of the Word. Take those amounts in and hydrate your spirit. Hydrate your soul. All right? You say, well, that's just a little bit. What's it going to do? Try it. And then come back and ask. Or tell. Alright? Don't try to gulp it, just try to drink it. If your spirit's dehydrated, drink the water of God's Word slowly but continuously. to add strength in life to your faith. Fellowship with the saints, fellowship with the sword. And the third point, I said there would be three. Fellowship with the Savior. How will your faith be strengthened? How about being with the ultimate faithful God, the ultimate faithful Christian, the ultimate faithful person in your life, which is God. Spending time with Him will increase your faith. 1 Thessalonians 5 says, "Faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it." God is faithful. The same yesterday, today, and forever in Hebrews 13. God is faithful. 2 Thessalonians 3 says, "But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil." When evil comes along, He'll keep you from it. Why? Because He's full of faith. He'll give you that faith. He'll strengthen your faith with wings as eagles, above the storm, above the trials. He'll lift you up. He'll refresh you. He'll renew you daily. 2 Timothy 2 says, "If we believe not, yet He abideth faithful. He cannot deny Himself." Even when our faith is weak, His faith is still the same. Even when we deny Him, He cannot deny Himself. He cannot come down from where He is. He's God. He cannot lower His standards of who He is. He's God. How can we increase our faith? By spending time with Him. Fellowshipping with Him. Can I tell you, you can go to and be around people and say, "Hey, Thanksgiving just happened this past week." You can be around people and not pay any attention to them. You're not fellowshipping with them if you're not paying any attention to them. All right? Say, "But the game was on." "Oh, I know the game was on." All right? But you can be around them and not fellowship with them, can't you? Well, you can be in this room right now and not be fellowshipping with the Savior. You can be around the teaching and preaching of God's Word and not fellowshipping with the Savior. How are the young people going to learn what God has for them when they look to the adults around them and see that, yeah, they're here, yeah, they make me come, but they don't have a relationship with that God that's being preached about? It's not a fellowship with God. How are they going to learn to fellowship with God? By seeing that you fellowship with God. That you have a relationship with God. How will your faith be increased? By spending time with God. You know, you'll learn things about the Savior by serving Him. If you never take a step out in service for God, there's a lot you're going to miss in learning about God. The ups and downs and the strength that God gives you and the ability that He gives you, even through difficult circumstances and trials, you will never have learned when you don't serve God. If this church were never here, it wouldn't learn the difficulties of having to get a larger parking lot. If Lewis doesn't work on the bus route next week or didn't work on it last week, he wouldn't know the difficulties of getting some of those kids on the bus in the morning. I believe, and I'll speak for myself, it's not for Lewis, but you learn about the compassion that God has for those people and that God wants them there. And He wants them on the bus. And He wants them in the class. But there's a whole lot you do not learn about the Savior by not serving Him. You don't know the compassion of Christ. You don't know the faith of God if you're not doing anything for Him. You say, "What are you saying? Is your faith weak? Are you not doing anything for Christ?" There might be a parallel, a pattern there. There might be a connection between the two. I'm looking back at the door that says pastor's study, and it hasn't been broken down. All right? By people just running in there to volunteer for something. All right. And I know this church is well run, and I'm not talking about from the top, I'm talking about from the pew. You guys are doing a lot. But is there one of you tonight that's saying, you know what, my faith is weak, and it might be because I'm really not doing a whole lot. I really don't have a fellowship with the Savior through service. I'm really not doing a whole lot. And I'm not just going to go out there and volunteer for everything, but God's leading me to do something, and I want to do that thing, and I want to talk to the pastor about it. If your faith is weak, spending time with the Savior, fellowshipping with Him, will strengthen that. And you can learn a lot about the Savior by serving Him that you won't learn by serving self. Fellowship with Jesus Christ will increase your faith. You notice that Jesus Christ didn't send His disciples out into the world alone. And not only that, but He didn't send them out before spending some time with Him. They got to know Him. They got to see Him. They got to spend quality time with Him before He sent them out into the world to serve. Why was their faith strong? And what did God remind them of when their faith was tried? How many times do you hear of Peter saying, "Man, and then I remembered what the Lord said unto me." They didn't understand a lot of what He was saying when He was teaching them as His disciples, but later on they said, "And then I remembered what He said about the temple. And then I remembered what He said about the Gentiles being saved too. And then I remembered about the strength that the church would have and that the church was supposed to go out and teach others. And then I remembered the substance of a relationship with Jesus Christ. And then I remembered the hope that I have as a Christian, when I'm tried, when the lust of the flesh of my heart pulls me towards something, then I remember I'm different. I'm not just to walk into sin anymore like it doesn't affect me or anyone else. I'm different. Then I remember what Jesus said because I've spent time with Him. And as a Christian, He doesn't send you out of this church building. He doesn't send you out there alone to lose. He doesn't send you out there to see loss after loss after loss. You're an overcomer. He has given you the measure of faith. And He will increase that faith. And He's given you tools to increase that faith. How can you? By fellowshipping with the saints. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. By fellowshipping with the saints. You know one way on a Tuesday night at 8 o'clock to fellowship with the saints when you're not around them? Do you have a prayer list? Do you have a like spirit? Do you have a connection with other believers even when you're not physically in their presence? You can connect with them through prayer. What will increase your faith? Fellowshipping with the saints in any way you can. Fellowshipping with the sword. Are you dehydrated? Drink it slowly and continuously, and the spirit will be strengthened, and your faith will be strong, and you'll be able to overcome, and you'll be able to have victory over the devil and the wiles of the devil. Are you spending time with the Savior? Because He is the captain of your salvation. He's the captain of the host of God. He's the ultimate victor. He is the faithful one. He is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. He is faithful, the same yesterday, today, and forever. But if you're not spending time with Him, if you're not around Him, if you're not communicating with Him, if you don't have a day-to-day renewing of your spirit and refreshing of your spirit, you'll dry up, you'll lose, you'll be serving self. Say, my faith really isn't that strong tonight. Are you serving? Are you serving? Because you'll learn a lot about the Savior by serving. And I'm sure you have. If there's something that God's spoken to your heart about tonight, you need to make a difference. You say, why? What can I possibly do tonight that could possibly help my faith or increase my faith? Well, James said that faith without works is dead. You say, what could I possibly do tonight? Committing your faith to God. Committing time with the saints or with the Word of God or with the Savior, committing it to Him, committing to God that I'm going to work on this faith. I'm going to spend quality, not quantity, quality time meditating on Your Word. When I'm on my bed at night, or when I rise early in the morning, my heart will be a heart of prayer. My spirit will not be dry. I'll have a life, an abundant life that You've given to me, and I will have victory through faith. But faith without works is dead. If there's a work, a commitment you need to make tonight, do it. Don't walk out of this building without increasing your faith. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. I just want to read one verse to you before the piano starts to play. Maybe tonight you have not committed yourself to God, or maybe your faith is weak and you're not serving God, and you're not overcoming the world because you've joined it. Let me tell you something real quick about the world. The Bible says in 1 John 2:17, "The world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." There's no positive in holding on to that lust, or in giving in to that lust, or in holding on to the world. It's going to pass away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Faith without works is dead. Take action tonight. Commit your fellowship to the Lord. God, we thank You for what You've done tonight. God, bless this invitation time, this altar, the pews. God, work in hearts. Help us to commit. God, help me to commit my faith and my time to You in Jesus' name. As the piano plays, God's spoken in your heart. The altar's open. Are you seeing victory? Or are you seeing loss? The devil will try to get you mad at other Christians or cause strife between you and other Christians. Why? Because if your faith is strong and your unity is strong, you're going to see victory. Put those thoughts aside. Serve the Lord. Have fellowship with the saints. You don't have to have loss. When that lust comes up in your heart, you don't have to have loss. You have been handed outright victory over death and hell and sin and the grave. You've been handed out victory. You are an overcomer. If you find yourself losing, if you find yourself as a weak faith or a weak Christian, I'm not trying to beat you over the head. I'm just trying to encourage you. Examine your faith. Look at your faith, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We're seated in the heavenlies with Jesus Christ. We have a spiritual nature. We have a soul that's redeemed and bought by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. We're in the family of God. You're a victor. Look at your faith. Commit yourself to increase your faith.